Song. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad he chose to go to the cross. And he chose to go to the cross. He chose to go to that cross for you. And he chose to go to that cross for me. Praise God. I am so thankful this morning that he chose to do that. You know, he didn't have to. Amen. But it was because of his great love for us that he chose to go to the cross. You know, as I stand here this morning, as I was talking to Brother Serge, and he asked me about the title of my message this morning, and I shared with him, as I often do, oh, I guess I better put this mic on. Cash might want to use it.
Unless you can get stuck up there.
I move too much, amen. He asked me about the title of the message. And I told him, I said, well, I got to make up my mind which one I want to preach. And I'm not saying it because I'm bragging on myself. I'm saying it this morning because of what God has pressed on my heart to do.
Amen.
And I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. And I think of all of the things that God has done for me, all of the things that God wants to do through me, I don't deserve to be before you this morning.
That's right, Pastor White.
But it's because of the cross, mm-hmm, I can stand before you.
Amen.
And I know that in my pastor's heart and his mind, as we rode back yesterday from Phoenix, it's just amazing. I've been here a long time, and it seems like every year or every opportunity, there's always something different that I have to do when pastor's not here. And I know the excitement of most of us as men that went to the men's conference yesterday, and all of the excitement that was on our pastor's heart when we were riding back, and Brother Jesse, he wanted to be here to preach this morning.
Yes, sir.
And last time that we came and we were talking about this, it was a time right after the revival or revival that he wanted to be here, but he was out of town,
yes,
because,
sir,
of Mrs. Dawson's mother, yeah, passing away. But I consider it a privilege this morning to be able to stand before you in my pastor's stead. And I want to share with you this morning, he asked me, I thought about, Pastor wanted me to talk to about missions giving. And a lot of people on Sunday morning don't want you to talk about money, amen? But money is necessary, but it depends on how you look at it as to how you feel about when money is spoken of. Because when you look around here, you know, it takes something to keep the lights on. It takes something to keep the pastor taken care of because he's God's man given to you. And whether you believe it or not, the pastor is a gift from God. And the gift that God has given us, we need to take care of because he ought to be something special to us. But when I think about missions, you can't really get involved with missions if you don't understand the importance of tithing and offerings that you ought to give to God, because that belongs to Him. And when we talk about missions, you can't really give to missions and acceptance to God unless you're tithing and giving Him the tithe and your offerings, because the tithe belongs to the Lord. Yep. The missions given is an extension of your tithes, but it's something that you ought to give back to God, because you want to do it by faith. And we call it faith promise giving, or we call it grace giving. Yep. It's not something that you definitely don't have to do, because He's not telling you that you ought to. But when I think about the grace of God and what God has done for me, I want to give back to Him, because when I think about giving my tithe, I want to give to missions, because it was because of a missionary that was at Tarragona, Spain, that my wife and I had to leave the founding fatherland that we were born in, that is great old USA, and go to a place in Tarragona, Spain, where we could hear the gospel that was presented in such a way it changed our lives. And it was because of a missionary that someone had decided that they were going to support and send to a foreign land that he could reach military people with the gospel. Because it doesn't matter where you are. It don't matter who you are. You know what? All of us need the gospel.
That's right.
And we need to hear the gospel. So there was a man there called Gary Kraft, was the pastor of the church. Mm-hmm. And he came to the bulletin, or what we call it, temporary lodging. And he invited my wife and I to church. And we went to the church on two conditions, because he knocked on the door and because we wanted to find us what they call them hoopties, because we didn't have a car at the time and we wanted a little hooptie so we could get around on. And y'all heard my story, but I'm going to tell you it anyway. Amen. And so we went to the church, and every time that we went, with those assumptions, you know what? We didn't just get a little hooptie. We got the souls saved. We got our souls saved. It was the first time that I've ever went into a church where I clearly heard a presentation of the gospel. The message that was preached was in such clarity that God convicted my heart. And when the pastor got to the end of the message, and we went, I think we went twice, but we went there, and Teresa and I would look at each other. You know, we wanted to kind of talk about what was said, but he got to the end of the service, and every time he would ask this question: if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you go to heaven? If you were to die today, do you know that you would go to heaven? And we wrestled with that thing. And he decided that he was going to stop by and visit us. And as he stopped by, he visited us one day. He asked this same question. And we both looked at each other and we said, we know we won't go to heaven. Because there was nothing good about us. There was no reason that we could say in our own heart of hearts that we knew if we died, we'd go to heaven, because we were not 100% sure. But he says, wouldn't you like to know? And I said, I surely would. I would like to know. Because I want to know, if I die, I want to know that I'd go to heaven. He said, well, let me do this. Let me take my Bible and I show you how you can be saved. And he took the Bible. It wasn't a miraculous feeling. I didn't see a light. I didn't hear voices. All I heard was the word of God. It pierced my heart. He showed me verse after verse after verse how I was a sinner, and if I died, I would go to hell. But how Jesus came to die on the cross for my sins, and that Jesus is the only way that you can get to heaven. And that's what he shared with us. And I could go into more detail, but I tell you this, when he left our house, we were 100% sure of where we would spend eternity. And let me say this to you this morning, my friend. It's not about an emotional feeling, and even though the emotional is involved, it's about trusting in Jesus Christ, him alone, nothing else will ever get you into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's the only way you can get to heaven. That's the only way. And if you got any other reservations about it, let me tell you this morning, we'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved.
Amen.
And how you can know that 100% sure that you're saved and you're on your way to heaven. Because that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. I didn't intend to say all that, but I had to get that off my chest this morning. Because if we're gonna talk about giving to missions, you ought to have a reason why. I want to share with you this morning why I give to missions. I give to missions because it was a missionary church that I got saved in. And as long as I live, if God spares me to live, I'm going to give to missions because I have a great reason to give because of Jesus Christ, but because he saved my soul. And it was a church there when I got there, knocked on my door, invited me out. My wife and I got saved. And it made a difference in our lives. It'll make a difference in your life. If you never trusted him, I tell you this morning, that's what you need to do. When we go to the book of Corinthians, chapter number, let's turn there. I don't know whether I asked you to turn there. But 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, I thought about going to Matthew 28 this morning, but we're going to go here. And I hope to kind of show you some things that have been such a blessing to me. And you're going to hear a pastor preach it. You'll hear Dr. Baldwin preach it. But you know what? I want to share some things that God has laid on my heart about it this morning. Because it is because of the grace of God that I stand before you this morning and know why I give the missions. And here the Apostle Paul is writing. And 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 is where we want to start. Look at chapter 8 and verse 1. Let me calm down here this morning. Woo! Moreover, brethren, we do you the wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of afflictions, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing to give of themselves. Did I say 9? We had 8. Praying us with all entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave themselves to the Lord. And unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty, you might be rich. Father, thank you again for this morning. Thank you for the reading of your word. Father, I pray that you would calm my heart and my spirit, that you would fill me with yours, empty me of self. Speak thus, saith the Lord, through me, this vessel. Forgive me of this sin that might be a hindrance to what you want to do. I beg of you now to speak to the hearts of your people as we desire this morning that you and you alone would make a difference in our hearts and lives. Bless now your word in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I want you to think about it this morning. You know, the Apostle Paul has wrote many books in the Bible. But Paul begins here as he's writing to the church at Corinth. He's reminding them of a good church that was an example when it came to giving to missions or giving what we call grace giving. Isn't it wonderful how God would never ask us to do something without doing it himself, but being giving us an example of how it can be done, that it would be pleasing to him? I was sitting here thinking, let me say this too. It's amazing. I've had many opportunities to fill in for pastor. It seems like it never gets easy. I'm so excited this morning. I don't know what to do with myself. And now I got to calm down. That God would be in control. Didn't have y'all stand for the scriptures. God forgive me. Pastor forgive me. But I want to say this morning. That here's Paul, he's writing about a church that was a great example when it came to giving. And I believe it ought to be to us to understand why they gave, how they gave. And it was in such a way that God chose to pin it down to be an example to us this morning. And I think about Paul writing here, telling us that the church at Corinth was a great example of giving, to telling the Corinthian church of a great example of the churches of Macedonian Christians who wanted to give to help them to carry the gospel. And the churches that he was talking about in the books that Paul wrote, as we can see through history, the church at Philippi, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Berea, all of these churches Paul was sharing with them about this giving that took place in the churches of Macedonia, or these churches that were known to be in the Macedonian region. I want us to notice something here. When I think about my own life, and I think about how I got saved, and I think about how I was introduced to missions, it's amazing when I first heard about this, I had a grip, God had to get a hold of my heart about, first of all, giving my tithe. Giving my tithe. Because you really, as I said earlier, you can't really give to missions with the understanding of what it's all about if you don't understand the importance of giving God what rightfully belongs to him. Because if you don't give him what belongs to him, you'll never give to missions consistently and practically if you don't understand tithing, first of all. And this church here, as he talks about them, I believe they were so caught up into what they had received from God that they wanted to get involved in making sure that somebody else got to hear the gospel just like they did. And I'm so caught up this morning with missions and missions giving, I want to share because somebody took the gospel, had it in a place and a time where I could hear it. And I want to be involved in it because I believe it is the heartbeat of God. Because Jesus sent his son to a cross to die for your sins and for mine. And it is the grace of God that was shed on the cross so that you and I could have salvation. And he wants us to be involved in getting the gospel around the world. And how do we do that? His missions. We could go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. How can we do that? He says in Matthew 28 and verse 19, he says, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Yep. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. Yep. Let me not mess it up. Let's turn there. Because God's word deserves it. I want to set the foundation here. Because this is why this church, I believe that they got a hold of this message. And we knew to you as Christians, those who have been blood brought and heaven bound. We need to understand this because God has given us a great commission. And we're going to talk about that hopefully tonight. Amen. He says, but Jesus said in verse 18 and in chapter 28, and Jesus came and spake unto them. He's talking about his disciple. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. How are we going to do that? We're going to do that through missions and missionaries. We want to be part of God's plan and God's program of getting the gospel around the world because somebody took it to where you are. Do you know that this church that you're sitting in is a missions church? We give to it, but this church was started because Pastor went out as a missionary to start this church. And many people have gotten saved because a missionary in Mons, Belgium was there. He heard the gospel. He got saved. And it was a missionary church that was planted there. Somebody gave. Pastor got saved. God called him to preach. God called him to start this church. And it was because of a missionary. I got saved. God called me to come with him to start this church 15 years ago. Never regretted it. But if we're going to do what God has commissioned us to do here in Matthew and in Acts, we got to get involved in his plan. We got to get involved in his program. And so we come back here to 2 Corinthians. We see here in chapter number 9 how Paul is writing to the churches about this church in Macedonia. And you say, well, he's writing to them. No, he's writing to us because it pertains to us even today. I want to share four things. The first thing I believe that we need to understand about the church at Macedonia. Notice what it says. It says, moreover, brethren, we do you the wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. I believe they came to a realization in their lives. I came to a realization in my life after I got saved about how I can get involved in God's program. And the realization was, it was the grace of God that I believe that inspired them to want to get involved in this faith promise giving. And if you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you know Christ as Savior, you ought to be motivated this morning to get involved, because the realization ought to come to you that it is the grace of God this morning that you're saved. And that's what motivated them. That's what motivates me. It was because by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is the grace of God that you're sitting here this morning that you're saved. And it ought to motivate you to want to get involved, because I believe that they realized that they were getting an opportunity to be involved in what God would have them to get involved in, because it would please God that they would be involved in it. And notice this realization. When we think about it, there's two things here that he shows us, and we have no excuse not to get involved when we think about the grace of God. Notice what he says. In verse 2, he says that how in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. In other words, they were involved in persecution, but yet they chose to give. Great trial of afflictions. And we could go back to the book of Acts, and we could go to Acts in Acts chapter 16, where Paul was called to go over to Macedonia, where Paul was in jail, and there was a lot of persecution going on, but yet, and through all of that, these people still wanted to get involved in what was going on in their lives. You're going through a lot of afflictions in your life today. But you know what? You still ought to give. You still ought to give because of the grace of God. And you know what? I was sharing with Brother Hall, when I grew up, and that's why it's so real to me. When I grew up, I tell people, we were so poor, Miss Jerry, it had three P's in it. Most people spell poor and it has two. We were so poor, I think it had four P's or O's in it. We were so poor. But when I think about the grace of God, I became rich when I became a child of God. Because everything that belongs to him now, it belongs to me, because of what Jesus did for me. And he gave his life for me so that I could have what he gave me, salvation, but I can have everything else that belongs to him now. It belongs to me because I'm a child of God. And it's because of the grace of God. So we have no excuse. You can be the poorest of people, but yet they still wanted to get involved. We don't get involved because we live selfishly, and everything that we have, it goes out for what we want. But I learned some things over the years. First Peter tells me to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as I have grown in my Christian life, I have realized that some of the things that I was living for are not the most important thing. And when you think about it, where the Bible says, so where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. And you can't give even your tithes a lot of times because you're taking what belongs to God and you spend it selfishly. And when you spend what belongs to God, you know what? He's going to get what belongs to him, whether he take it or whether you give it to him freely. That's why you don't have no success in your life financially. Because if you're a God robber, you're not going to enjoy the fruits of your labor, because you're not giving God what belongs to him. And I learned that as a Christian. And if I want God's blessings, I need to give him what belongs to him. And it'll change your view of what you're spending your money on. And it might just change it in such a way that you'll learn how to give to God, because you can't outgive him. Because when you give him what belongs to him, he's going to give back to you. Pressed down, running over, shaking together. A country boy said, running over shall men give into your bosom. Because you do it the right way. So when we get the basis in line, we'll have something to give when it comes to giving above that, because that's what they did. Even through the poverty that they were going through, even through the persecution that they were going through, they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And notice this, because he says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. In other words, they were willing to give to God, not just a tithe, but they were willing to give above that because of what God had done for them. And I'm willing to do that today. And I'm not going to say this because I'm trying to brag on myself. I'm going to say this because I'm going to brag on God. God has blessed my wife and I many times over. And we're just about to where it's three times more in our missions giving than it is in our tithe. Now you figure it out. I think this suit looks okay. I think this tie matches it pretty good. My wife, she likes doing that, matching it all up. I could tell you blessings after blessings after blessings that I have in my life because of grace giving. Because when you get it right, keep it right, stay right, God is going to bless you. And it won't be a grudging thing to do. It'll be something that you enjoy doing because they were willing to give above that they had because they wanted somebody else to enjoy the grace of God. So they wanted to give the missions. And that's why I give the missions, because I want to one day stand before God and I'm going to meet some people that I didn't even know because of missionaries that we chose back in 1986, and we're in year 2016, going into 17, I'm going to see some people that are there because all of those years I've given to the grace of God, to the glory of God. And I don't regret it, not one bit, because in all of those years, I've never, ever been without what I needed. I may not have what I wanted, but I always had what I need because of the grace of God. And that is the key. He says his seed are never going to beg bread. I've never had to beg for anything.
That's right, Pastor.
Because when you live by faith, that's what faith promise is. You live by faith because God wants to give through you by faith to trust him. When it comes to grace giving, I'm going to give it to you so that you can give it out. Not only does he give me the tithe, God is giving me what I have to give to him when it comes to grace giving. Because he can trust me with the tithe. Because I'm going to give that first. And what he tells me that he wants me to give next year, he can trust me with that number too. Because he says that he's going to make sure that, look at chapter number 9. I didn't think about saying this, but we just got to go over there because this area is so familiar. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse number 8. And God is able. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. What a promise. Because he's able. He's able. God don't want no stingy givers. He don't want no grudging givers. He don't need your money. Because everything belongs to him anyway. But what it is, you need his blessings. You need his blessings. He don't need you. You need him. What a tremendous thing when you think about it. It was because of grace and this grace giving here that he's talking about. They came to a realization here. If we give to help God get his message out, we're going to be blessed. That's the characteristic of a good church. Amen. And notice here that because they gave, they had pleasure in their giving. Go back to chapter number 8. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. They did it with joy. They did it with pleasure, and they enjoyed what they were doing. I'm excited about giving to missions. I'm looking forward to it because I know that it pleases God. And what pleasure we can have in our giving. And I can encourage you this morning, in spite of persecution, in spite of poverty, they still had the joy of giving to God. It's like Jesus did when he went to the cross. The Bible says when Jesus went to the cross and died, he looked forward to it. He says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame of what they were taking him through. He did it because it was for the joy that was set before him. That one day, he's going to have us that trust him as Savior. He's going to have us in heaven with him. And I can do it with joy because there are going to be some people that's going to get saved, that's going to be in heaven, and we're going to rejoice when they get there. I didn't know them before they got there, but I'm going to know them when they get there because of the joy that's set before us because of what he's already done. Well, that's good stuff. That's the joy of the Christian life. And a lot of Christians today don't enjoy that because they don't know nothing about it. They never got involved in it. They've never enjoyed the gospel to where they shared it with somebody and enjoyed the giving because they gave so somebody else could get saved. That is the joy of the Christian life because Jesus looked forward to what he was going to do when he endured the cross. So we see here their motivation, but the thing that I see here was the realization that they came to, we can get involved in what God is excited about. Boy, notice what else they did. I ain't going to get nowhere in this message, amen? But we see the pleasure they had. But notice the power, the example here. In verse number 3, he says, For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Boy, the Macedonian saints gave more than their ability. They gave beyond their ability. They were not tightwads who figured they're tied to the penny. And ain't nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do. Amen. But they gave beyond what was expected of them. They were extremely liberal. But I like the pleasure they had. Because of the poverty and and how poor they were and the power that they gave beyond themselves. But notice the praying that went on in verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. In other words, they praying that Paul, come get the money. Take it where it needs to go. How many of y'all excited when the offering plate come around? I hope you are. You come back now. Here. I'm just messing with you. But you know what we ought to be? Because we get to give to God. And when it comes to faith promise, we ought to be excited and looking forward to it because we get to be excited about what God is going to do with Shining Light Baptist Church next year. That's right. When it comes to giving. We ought to get excited about it. I know Brother Baldwin is looking forward to it. Pastor and I, we've been praying. We're excited about it. I hope that you are too. If you're not, you need to get your exciter taken care of. You can come to the altar now and get it all worked out. Boy, they were praying them. Look, come and get this money. Yeah. Timothy, go get it. Go collect their money because they want to give it. They came to the realization of what the gospel was all about and the grace of God. They were excited about it. Boy, that's point one. I ain't even got to point two. Amen. But the praying, I tell you, that's some good stuff. So they were enjoying themselves. They were excited about it. And notice what it says in verse 5. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. In other words, Timothy had come to collect it. Now, I want you to give it to him. The priority here was first that they did something else. They gave of themselves. Let me say this morning. If I could do it, when it comes to giving, if you give of yourself, God has everything else. If I could just picture in your mind, when the offering plate comes around, if you could just get in the offering plate, we'll get the ushers to help each other carry you out, amen? Amen. If you're going to need help to carry me, amen? But if you could give of yourself, and the way that he's talking about, they gave of themselves. In other words, I can offer myself as an offering to God. Because if I do that, guess what he got? He got this too. He got that too. And you know what? He likes that. Because they gave of themselves. And when you give yourself to God, and that belongs to him, everything else that you have, it belongs to God as well. And you can't outgive him. We've already seen that, because he's able to make sure all grace abounds towards you. You're going to have everything that you need if you give it to God by faith. He's going to make sure you have exactly what you need in order to survive. That's how good God is. So that's how they gave. That was the excitement that they had when it came to giving. So we see here the priority that they had. God wants more than the contents of your purse. He also wants the most important thing. He wants your heart. Because if I could get in the offering tray, he's got my heart, he's got my body, he's got my wallet, he's got my all. Because that's the way that they saw that they needed to give. They were willing to give of themselves. God, whatever it is that you want to do in and through me, here I am. Have me. You can do it. And that's what they did. And it wasn't how Paul them expected, but they gave her their own selves. Timothy, go and collect the money that they have there. You've already begun it. Now I want you to go and finish what you have started to do. Because now we see the exception here was that Timothy needed to finish what he had started. But Timothy or Titus here, Titus desired that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace giving. Also, we see that in verse 6. And Paul here tells us Titus had been instructed by him earlier to begin taking the offering from the church at Corinth. And when we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, it reminds us of how Paul wanted Titus to go and collect the money. And there's a reason why. When we look at 1 Corinthians 16, if you turn back over to just a few pages, he tells us in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1, he says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Paul found a good man that he could send to collect this offering. You know why Paul did that? Because in our day and time, and even in his, there was always those scoffers out there trying to collect money for the wrong reason. Paul didn't want it to be no excuse for you, them not to give. He didn't handle the money. He wanted it to be collected before he got there so that nobody would think that he's coming in there trying to do like we see people do today. We want your money, but we ain't got time for you. Paul didn't want that stipulation on his life because he had a desire that God would be honored. Timothy, you go, Titus, you go get it, and then I'm going to come. So there'll be no schism. There won't be no misunderstanding about who is collecting the money, where it was going to go, what it was going to be done with. That's the exception to the rule. You know, I have the privilege of being the accountant, if you want accountant, or you want to say the person that handles the money when it's counted to take it to the bank. That's what I do. But I tell you something. I don't take it lightly.
That's right, Pastor.
And I tell the ushers all the time, when you count the money, make sure it's right. Because I don't want to take it
right
if it's not right. Because I value the position, but I value God's. It's His. And we want to do it with all honesty. When they count the money, don't go two by yourself. Make sure there's always somebody else with you.
Right.
So there's to be nothing can be said that the money is being mishandled, because you know what? We're going to have to stand before God and give an account for how the money is handled. Paul didn't want nothing to be said that he's coming and wanting your money. I don't want it to be said, you know what? You can give it. It ain't going to go to me. It's going to go to the work of God. Because I know that is the pastor's desire. And he's given me that responsibility. But I fear God more than I do y'all. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure it's right. I don't want to change no numbers. I don't want to deposit any less than it was given. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to take any. I'm not going to put any more in it. I'm not going to take any more out of it. Because it belongs to God. Because you gave it because you believed that it was going to be handled right. And Paul wanted this money that was being given, that the people would be assured that it's going to be handled correctly. And I don't understand people today that can be God robbers and not give the tithe and not fear God, but be those that when it comes in, they will steal it. God help them. I fear God. It's His money. I don't even want to rob Him of His tithe, let alone take what you give that you're giving for the tithe. Amen?
Amen.
You can say amen or oh my. Amen?
Oh my.
He says, therefore, in verse number 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and in utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. In other words, Paul said, you're doing great, church. You're doing good things. But I want you to abound in this grace also when it comes to faith, promise, giving. I'm telling you this morning, I want to see you abound in this area in your Christian life. Because God will bless you. God will bless you. So we see him in enduring them here. He's entreating them to get involved. He's encouraging them in verse number 8. He says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. I'm encouraging you to get involved, to do what you said you would do. He encouraged them in two ways. Paul made this exhortation to them, the Corinthians, about their giving and offering for the poor saints in Judea. He says, the performance of it is for others. In other words, the forwardness of others. Look what you can do for other people. Other churches, especially those that were in the Church of Macedonia, had been so liberal and enthusiastic in their giving. And he says, perform the doing of it. Prove here the sincerity of your love. And if you love God, you love the grace of God, then it ought not be any problems with you giving. Amen?
Amen?
If you love God and you love saints and you love Christians, and he says, even your love for me, if you love God and you love saints and you love lost souls, then it ought not be a problem with you giving. It ought not be a problem. Because somebody gave and supported Pastor Gary Craft when he was in Torrejon, Spain, and I got to hear the gospel. Somebody was supporting him. And you know, when Pastor started this church, there were people that were supporting him because the church could not afford to pay him a salary. There were people that supported him. And we ought to be willing to do the same thing and support what God is excited about it. We're going to do one more here, at least start on it, that I want us to see here. The things that they were doing, that they did. First of all, we saw here their giving was the realization of it, and we saw the exceptions to the rule of what they were doing. But notice what ought to drive us is the inspiration that he gives us in verse number 9. Verse 9. He said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake
he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Boy, if that don't give you some inspiration, there's something wrong. I think about it this morning. Here he was. He stepped out of heaven's glory to come to an old rugged cross, to be beaten, spit upon, nailed to the cross for your sin and for mine. See, he already had everything. And he didn't have to give that up. But he did that. He did that for me. He did that for you. He became poor so that we might enjoy the riches of glory because of his death on a cross for your sin and for mine. That's the inspiration that we ought to have this morning, that we ought to want to get involved in this mission's giving because of what God has already done. And we became heirs, joint heirs together with him, so everything that he enjoys, will enjoy, has enjoyed, we can be a part of it because we're a child of God. And you know what? You could have $1 billion this morning and you can't take one dime of it with you. But you know one thing that you can take with you? Is lost souls. People that don't know Christ the Savior. Because you know what? That's a greater trophy than any house, any car, any bank account, any furniture. You want to put in, ain't much, amen? Anything that you could ever have in this life never would equate to a lost soul coming to know Christ the Savior, being in heaven one day, to walk on the streets of gold. I don't know anybody yet, when they die, they took anything that they had in this life that they were able to take with them. Do y'all know of anybody? Even the body that they were in when they died, that decayed, so they couldn't even take that with them. The bones, if you go and check the grave, they still there. But you know what? The soul lives somewhere. The soul is going to live in eternity in hell, or it's going to live in eternity in heaven. Amen. And let me say this morning. Where are you going to spend eternity? Where are you going to spend the rest of your life? Because when the breath that you take, he gave it to you. And when he decides to cut it off and you die, where are you going to spend eternity? Because that's what it boils down to. You know, you can, I met people, they can shuck and jive with the best of them. You can tiptoe around it with the best of them. You can say you had all of these experiences that you want. But it's only at the cross that you can be assured of spending eternity in heaven. Because Jesus came to die. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only way that you can get to heaven. And it's by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And I don't know anybody that can genuinely say that they give you a gift that you had to work for it or that you had to pay for it, because he's already paid for it. He paid for it when he died on the cross. So what I had to do back in 1986, December the 6th is coming up, 1986, Pastor Kraft took the Bible, showed me how I could be saved, and I know that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven because I realized that I was a sinner. As the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 10:9 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there's no difference between the Jew or the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. How can we be saved? except we call upon him. With the understanding that I need to repent of my sin and turn from that sin and turn to the cross, that what he did on it will pay for it because he's already purchased it. Put my faith and my trust in what Jesus did. It ought to inspire you this morning, if you've never done it, that you ought to do it. That you ought to do it. And you don't have to do it for me, because I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That day. That day. Do you have a day? Do you have a time that you can go back to and claim that you put your trust in Jesus Christ? I know when my birthday is, February the 15th, 2016. I thought y'all to catch it, amen. I'm only 21. I'm only 22. My wife's 21. She's going to have a birthday Saturday. She's 21, and I'm just a year older than her. Y'all got that? Y'all will get it after a while. But I can go back to that day. I know what day I was born physically. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And except you be born again by water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He spells it all out. It's the only way that you can get to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask Miss Natasha to come and play a hymn of invitation. Maybe you hear it this morning, and it may have been here this morning, and you hear this message, and I know it may not have been so much about giving that you're used to hearing of, but you know, we ought to give. But you know, if I think about the church here at Corinth, the thing that they gave that every one of us need to do, we need to give of ourselves. And maybe you hear this morning, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to pick you out. But if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I want you to do something. I want you to slip up your hand, heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around but me. If you're here this morning, you're not 100% sure if you die, you go to heaven. Will you raise your hand? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to try to embarrass you. But what I want to do this morning, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. I see that hand going up. I see that hand. Thank you. You may put it down. Would anyone else here this morning, join this one that has raised their hand, that they're not 100% sure that if they die, they would go to heaven? Anyone else here like that this morning? Anyone else? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to come to embarrass you. Maybe you're here this morning and a Christian, and you do know Christ as Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you know in your heart of hearts that you haven't been giving to God when it comes to the tithe or whether it comes to missions. But you want to get involved. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want to pray for you this morning. But maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, I've failed you in that. But when the invitation begins to play, maybe you'll make your way here this morning and beg of God to forgive you for not carrying out that which you know that you ought to do. Because you've committed to it, but you haven't done it the way that you ought to. Maybe you're here this morning and you need a good church that you need to join to become part of a good church. I can't think of any greater place, any better place that you could be. And that's here at Shining Light Baptist Church. And when the invitation begins to play, if you want to come forward and you have that desire, we'll let someone take you and just take you off to the side and show you how you can become a member of this church. And maybe you're here this morning, you just need to come to an old-fashioned altar and ask God to do some things in your heart and in your life. It'll be open for that as well. Let's all stand at our feet. Natasha, will you begin to play? Father, you see that hand this morning. And God, I pray that you work in his heart, his life in a special way. It takes a lot of courage, Lord, to come and admit where we are in our life. And I know that there may be someone else here this morning that does not know Christ as Savior. And I'm not going to embarrass them, Lord. It's not my desire, and I know it's not yours. But I thank you, this one that has the courage to come and want to be know how they can be saved. I pray that you work in a special way. That one. Maybe there might be some others. But Lord, I pray that you give them the courage to come, to let someone take a Bible and show them how they can be saved. Lord, we need to close the door, close the book, if we don't preach, thus says the Lord. If the gospel is not held up high where people can make a decision, then we're not doing what we ought to do as a church. And I'm not doing what I ought to do as a preacher. I preach the truth that it would impact lives. God, I pray if there be someone here this morning that's struggling with when it comes to the tithe and when it comes to the offering, that you work in their heart this morning as well. God, if there be one here that wants to get involved in the missions giving, I pray that you give them the faith to trust you, because it is grace giving. It's given by faith, trusting you to give in and through us or each individual as you will see fit. God, I pray that you work in that heart and in that life, or whatever any other need or situation that could be in that life this morning. There's some this morning, Lord, I know that are suffering affliction, and it may be health-wise, it may be physical, it may be spiritual. God, I pray you work in that heart and life as well. And God, most of all, if there be someone here that's looking for a good church, I pray you give them the courage to come forward and do just that. Maybe they're here and they've never been scripturally baptized. They've accepted Christ as Savior, but they've never truly been scripturally baptized. I pray that you give them what they need to come forth with the boldness to do that as well. We're going to let our pianist play one more stanza through. And no one else comes, we'll close this invitation this morning. But you do what God would have you to do. We don't want to embarrass you. We're not trying to make you do anything. It's all volunteer. Not only does God love a cheerful giver, God loves a cheerful, humility, humbled heart that's willing to come and not be proud of what we are, but be humble in what we need to be. And we need you working in our lives. God, I need you working in my life. I need you working in my family. I pray that you will. According to your will, according to your way, may it be done. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You may be here this morning. And as I say, if you're visiting, please come back and you have a chance to meet our pastor. He's out of town this week. But I'm going to ask Brother Jesse.